This teaching actually is entitled The Power of Now, Growing in Trust. And I hope that we're going to be able to see the connection between now, the word now, and the word trust. And in John 11, we see that Jesus actually comes to a family. It's well known to many of us, this story in John 11, because Jesus visits a group of people that he's very, very close and intimate with, a group of people that he has shared a table with, he's shared a home with. They invite him into his home all the time. And this family, two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they get to see a side of Jesus that to me, as I pray that we are experiencing the more that we walk with Jesus, we get to see the intimate side of him, not just the public face, but the personal face. And they got to sit at a table and hear the pearls of wisdom from him. They got to know a side of him that was so amazing. And they could rightly, people I think would identify them that they were a friend. They were friends. They had a relationship. They had a close relationship. And the amazing thing is that there's going to come a time in their life that when they hit crisis, this household of faith, they trusted in Jesus and they trusted everything they knew about him they felt was going to come through for them. And when Jesus doesn't come through in the way that they think, it's very brutal for them because they don't just have their own how they view Jesus and the relationship they think they have with him, but the whole community was watching. I mean, when their time of crisis came and they were, everybody was convinced that Jesus was going to show up for them and that there was going to be a great miracle like he had been doing as he had just recently walked the earth. He was nothing but a miracle man. Jesus was nothing but destroying the works of darkness. People were rejoicing in the light he brought in the words. And surely when it came to this household of faith, surely when it came to a group of people that everybody acknowledged knew him and sat with him and broke bread with him, that in their hour of crisis, he was going to act just like everybody expected Jesus to do, including them. And when it didn't happen their way and their time, Jesus invites us all on a journey of faith with them. You see, because they are, let's zoom out for a minute. And in John 11, verse 15, we clearly see what's going on according to heaven's point of view, according to Jesus' point of view. Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes I was not there to the intent that you may believe. And so everything that's going to happen now is that unbelievers who are believers can grow in the grace and grow in faith in trusting him. And it's that much love. Jesus loved them so much that he's going to move them down the road of trust. And this whole situation is intended by God and the will of God is being done. And beloved, as we begin to look at what their particular hindrances to believe Jesus, when he didn't act like they thought he was going to act, when the story didn't go the way they thought it was going to go, we're going to see ourselves here. And we're going to see ourselves because we also are believers. And when Jesus was going to teach, when he was taking this group of people he loved so especially through this time, I believe he was so speaking through the ages. I believe he was saying there are two major trusts. There are two major hindrances to trust. There's two major things that go on in the life of believers when they need to break through into new ground and to really experience trust and faith and believing God in a new way. And it can be boiled down to two things that are going on in our heart that hinder us to trust God. And in his great love, he is going to show them and he's going to show us the things that battle and work against us trusting God. So hindrance number one, when we operate in pride versus vulnerability. When we operate in pride versus vulnerability. And in John chapter 5, we just break in on what's going on with Martha. And it says, and Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way. And this, we're going to really see here what Martha was outside of everything that was going on in the crisis in her life. Her brother Lazarus has died. She's fully believing that Jesus was going to show up and he was going to be healed, that he would not die. And when it happened, she's in a crisis of faith. But she does what so many of us do, is that somehow we feel like we don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to maybe hurt our testimony. And so a lot of times we just put all the hard things and all the hurtful things and all the impossible and the painful things, we put it into a tight ball, down tight where we can't examine things, and we coat it all with scripture. And we're afraid perhaps to go deep. There's fear in this response because we're afraid that if we really start having to ask the why questions, that we're going to lose the little faith that we have. And we feel that it's maybe pleasing to God to quote scripture at him instead of listening to him. And if the moment she was able to trade her I knows, I know to Jesus and actually had the courage and the humility to say, Jesus, I don't understand this at all. And I know a lot of people are expecting me to understand it. And I know people are expecting me to have an answer. But I just need to say right now, I really don't understand why it is we, your friend, and my brother is in the tomb. And if she was able to do that, she, I believe, being a natural leader, I mean, after all, the scripture tells us that Jesus went to her house. It's interesting, but it is called her house in another place. And she didn't have answers for people, but she didn't go low. She just keeps talking. Because as usual, pride and spiritual pride keeps talking and none of the listening. And I want to remind you, beloved, a snake has no visible ears. And we can get a snake spirit, you know. And we're not listening at all. We're just all mouth. And pride has coils of fear, and it wraps itself with deadly strength against places we don't understand. And Jesus, in verse 23, he tells her very, very clearly, your brother will rise again. And she goes, I know. I know. I know. And then she gives Jesus a little theology. She says he's going to rise again at the last day. I know. This is like, you're not, this response, she's going to a safe place now. She's going to a safe place. I know he's going to rise again at the last day, and it shall be well in the by and by. And I want to say to you that, of course, she can't believe for resurrection today. And she can't believe for victory today. And, you know, there. I think a lot of times when we are known perhaps as leaders, as teachers, as a person of faith, as a person that claims to know Jesus intimately, as a person who says, he's answered my prayers before, he sits at my table, I know a side to him, a lot of people don't. I think though in a time where we're in crisis and when there are things going on that we don't know that Jesus is doing all this to the intent we may believe. We don't understand that he's working with unbelieving believers, that he may move us because he loves us down the road of faith, that he may get glory and he may do something today in our unbelieving situation. But she, of course, is thinking it can't happen today. I don't have this all theologically worked out. You're quiet on me, but I'm true. I'm writing this. I can't have a miracle. I don't theologically have it worked out yet. I can't go to a new ground. I don't understand how this works. I don't even have a good answer why this works. Some people, they might be thinking, Lord, I can't hear what you're saying to me and about believing you for something completely impossible, completely outside my circle of known, because I haven't done enough yet for you. See, Martha was a doer. And I haven't done enough yet, which means really I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I mean, I was going to do more for you. And I knew that when you showed up on time, I was going to cook you the greatest meal. That house was going to be ready. When you came and laid your hand on my brother, I tell you, I was believing you, Jesus, for the last second. I was telling everybody, don't you worry, Jesus is going to show up. Don't you worry, we've got it all under control, because so many times that response is, Lord, I'm not ready for what you're asking me. I'm not ready to believe the place you want me to believe because I'm not in control. Because I'm not in control of it. And I want to say that many times that when we're put in a place of a crisis of faith, that I think Jesus is saying, that's the time for many of us to get vulnerable. For many of us to be able to say, Lord, I don't really understand. I don't understand you. I need help to trust you. I need, Lord, to be able to transfer trust. Because it's very subtle, you know, when we trust Jesus in something else. And love, that's how we when we get saved, we say it's all Jesus. But then as we're learning to walk it out, we don't realize. But a lot of times we have a split screen in our head. And we're trusting Christ, but we're also trusting something else. We can be trusting Christ and trusting our prayer life, trusting God and trusting our works, trusting God and trusting ourselves to trust him. You know, there's lots of things we can do as we are people of faith. And Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going to show you now if there's an area of your faith that you need to transfer trust solely to me. You got to go out on a limb. You got to be vulnerable. You got to go to a place where you don't understand things. You've got to be willing to keep my face before you and then quote the scripture. Don't quote scripture at me. Remember, I am the word. I am the living word. And let me quote the scripture to you. And when we get argumentative and defensive, and then all our reasons why God can't move this way or now or today, it just ends up being talk, 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 because we think that as long as we're talking, it's like a substitute for believing. Yeah. And Jesus loves us through this. You know, I've heard it said from here, I'm going to say it again, pride hides. Pride hides. And Jesus has come and he's telling her something that's very hard to her to see. He says to her, Mary, she says, I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And he kind of goes, really? Okay. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe that, Martha? So he kind of takes her where she's at, where the struggle is, because he loves her and because he loves us. And she says, yea, Lord. She does. Yea, Lord, verse 27. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And beloved, they are not having the same conversation. They're not having the same conversation. You know, there's sometimes, because that's really a declaration of our salvation, that we believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Lord and he is the Son of God that should come into the world. But he goes, I'm not asking you to go back now to the day of your salvation and the milk of righteousness. I'm asking you to go deeper. I'm saying something to you that is, unless you get vulnerable and unless you get like a little child, you're not going to hear me. He says, I am resurrection and I am life. And she's living not after the cross. She's living before the cross. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're living before a place. We've been put into a place where we have to really, in order to hear, we have to drop our defenses. We have to drop our understanding of the situation because we're brought into a place we're uncomfortable. We're brought into a place there is no easy believism. And Jesus said, I've got to show you here. You're trusting two things, me and something else. And I'm going to take you and show you that so that we can have the same conversation. You can really hear me because I love you. And you've been brought into a place you don't understand. And it's a place of unexplained pain. It's a place where people around you going, how come, you know, if you believe in God, this and this is happening now? Because her brother's been dead 4 days and she doesn't have anything to say, but that doesn't stop her from talking. Ever been there? I have been there. In fact, even recently, you know, I realized there was a part of my own heart that wasn't healed. And I didn't really want to admit that there was a part that was not healed because frankly, I've walked with the Lord longer than half of you have been alive. This is really white. Yeah. So it kind of boils down to in believing Jesus, if not now, when? And I could talk about it, and it was like it could keep that wall, sort of like an invisible wall around it. And not that you don't want to be healed, and not that you don't want to move forward in that, but sometimes the talk is just way easier. Sometimes just needing to talk about it, just needing to look at it from one more angle, just needing to analyze it. But you know, at the point, it doesn't glorify God. Jesus says, you know me, right? I sit at a table with you. I show you a side of me that others don't see. If not today, when? And beloved, I feel like for many of us, the Lord is saying, you can trust me with those hard places, but just don't start talking, okay? Just don't go into automatic scripture mode. Can you come to my word and can I say things to you that perhaps you've always pushed away to another day? Always pushed it away because it never made sense to you. Always pushed it away because there was something about that word I bring to you and you know it makes you uncomfortable and you don't have any answers for it. And that's where Martha found herself. And it's like Jesus is saying, I need to have the same conversation with you today. I need to be able, don't worry, I'm not here to expose you. I'm not here to condemn you. But I'm saying that you have put things down so tightly in a ball and you've coated it with scripture that I can't talk to you. And it can become scriptural ping pong. The Lord says a word and we give a word back and it's do-do-do and you get faster, 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 you know, and you know who's going to lose that one. And we're no farther down the road. And so I believe that the Lord is saying, you know, when we find ourselves argumentative, defensive, when we find ourselves many times when Jesus, we have unexplained pain and we have things all down tight in a ball. And the Lord's saying, don't code it in scripture. I will untangle it for you. I've shared this illustration before, but when my daughter was little, she got, you know, a big tangle of hair in the back of her head. And it was just this huge, tight, it was like a rat's nest at the back there. And she didn't want anybody to touch her head. Nobody could get near with a brush or a comb because she had such a sensitive scalp. But there came a day, you cannot go in the streets calling yourselves our child looking like that. I feel like God's like that with us someday. You're not going back out there till we deal with this rat's nest right here at the back of your head. And little by little, you know, wide tooth comb, just little by little, I had to sort it out. I had to get separated out with my hands and little by little take it piece by piece by piece. If a mother can be that gentle, how much more Jesus? And Because the one sorting it out has crucified hands. And little by little, he'll sort it out. Because I believe that as people of faith, if we don't let him do the sorting out, the places of unexplained pain, places where we have no answer, and places where we feel like we have to defend God, but we don't have much to say about it, places where we feel very vulnerable, places where there's a dead brother in the house, and we don't know how to go forward, and it glorifies God, and we don't know how to go forward with the little faith we have intact. And I just really feel like the Lord said, you can trust me. I'm going to sort this out. Because if we don't, you know, beloved, I don't know. I know you've met them too, if you've walked with the Lord at all. But some people end up with a religious spirit. Some people just end up so not real. Some people, you just can't talk to them anymore because they retreat back into a hyper religiosity and a hyper explanation. And because they're trying to control the fear, and they're trying to control the place where there is no answer. And they're trying to, by repeating certain scriptures that really ministered in the past, but trying to put it in this situation, it's just not quite ministering and bringing peace to their heart, but they don't stop. And they don't say, Lord, what's going on? They're not vulnerable. They're not all of a sudden like, I really do need to get vulnerable. I need to drop my pride. I need, Lord, you come. And I need to stay listening till you speak. And not move into the hyper-religiosity that people in the end, they reject that because it's not attractive and it's not appealing. This Bible is full of promises and full of verses. And if you can only quote, beloved, and I say this lovingly, one or two over your whole life, you need to learn some more. And they'll be more satisfying, and they really will help. And so we don't have pat scriptural defenses. We're saying, Lord, just help me to listen. Help me be teachable. He was actually showing her a way forward. He was actually being prophetic. He was showing her, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can you hear something? I can speak to the pride. I can speak to the fear. I can speak to the need of control in your life. You don't know I'm the next step forward, but if you'll listen, I'll make a way where there is no way. I will be a light unto your path. I will bring peace to your heart. You don't have to live behind the barricade of fear and having to explain God to people, and it sounds feeble in your own ears. I will be in my own defense. Let me speak to your heart and I will show you the way forward. And so number one, when fighting how to grow in trust, let us trade pride. Let us trade fear for vulnerability. God will be faithful to us. And he's been trying to speak for a long time. And we'll be very, very amazed how satisfying the answer is. Even if we don't understand it right at the beginning, he says, I'll take you there. I'll lead you little by little and I'll cause it to make sense. Because you see, at the end of the day, her brother was going to be raised to the dead would be made living. She just needed to get through that day. And God was giving her a now word. And I want to say for those that are battling with this kind of situation about a crisis in your life or something that's not happening, God is saying, if you can hear my voice today, now is the day that I want to break through that unhearing, that pride, that religiosity. I want to break through today. Only I can break through that. But if you can hear my voice, you will live. And if you can hear what I have to say, drop it, because I understand I'm reaching out to you in love, and it shall be well. Number two, the hindrance to trusting is despair versus God's faithfulness. And the scripture goes on to say, after Mary had said so, she went her way. She kind of like, well, I told Jesus caused him to understand what was going on here. And she kind of wiped her hand and marched away and called, next, Mary, you go talk to him. He's here. And so now we see a second hindrance. It's despair versus God's faithfulness. And Mary, when she sees Jesus, she sinks down at his feet and she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. She says the same thing Martha says. So clearly this was the talk in the house for 4 days. But when she says it, she is actually saying it as an admission of despair. She sinks to his feet, not in surrender. She sinks to his feet in despair. And she echoes people that go, Lord, I struggle to trust you now. I struggle to trust you now because when I really, really, really needed you to show up, you didn't. I everything I know about you, Jesus, said you were going to show up. Everything I understood about you, everything that I heard you say, when I sat at your feet in teaching mode and listening mode, it gave me the strength to believe that you were going to show up. And when Lazarus, and there was a dead son, when there was a dead brother in the house, when there was death in the house, I knew that you are life, and I knew that you were going to come. And when it didn't play out her way, when it didn't go according to her understanding, when everything religious-wise that she knew about Christ wasn't happening, when he finally shows up, she sinks in despair. And it's like, Lord, I have done everything I know to do. I've done everything that I know to do. And yet it hasn't worked. There's illness. There's death. There's wayward children still. There was the divorce. I know everything I know to do. And it didn't happen. And I'm struggling now to trust you. That what is so moving to me is Jesus' response. And it shows us in verse 33 of John 11. It's saying, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And verse 38, it says, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself when he came to the grave. You know, Jesus was fully God clothed in humanity. And I want to say at that moment, everything in the humanity side of Jesus was groaning. There was anguish in himself. Because maybe a despair wanted to overtake him when he was battling with unbelieving believers. And Jesus is struggling here, and he's in a pressing place. He's in a place that his flesh is being pressed, and I believe it wants to break out. I believe here we have Mary sunk to his feet in despair. We have Jesus being rebuked by a religious spirit in Martha. He has a crowd of people around him, the Jews that said, I don't get this. He could open the eyes of the blind. Why couldn't he prevent this young man from dying? And everything in him, all around him, are these people that all of a sudden they've lost everything they've ever known about Christ. There's this atmosphere, there's this place where it just wants to accuse him. It wants to say, we don't understand you, and we've lost confidence in you because we don't understand you. We've lost confidence in you because we don't understand the situation. We've lost confidence in you because everything we've known about you is contrary to what we're facing. And Jesus, he's pressed in his humanity, and he's pressed. And beloved, I want to say that Jesus does not operate in the flesh, but he deals now in the spirit. He doesn't respond like they think he's like people in their flesh would. When he encounters despair, he doesn't act in despair. When he meets angry people, he doesn't return the anger. When he meets accusing people, he doesn't go into accusing mode. His flesh is pressed all around him. He groans. This hurts him. But what he does is he does not operate in the same spirit that they are. What he says is, take away the stone. What he says is, take away the stone. And but I want to say to you that if you are a believer, let me tell you, lovingly, beloved Mary and Martha, and I'm a beloved Mary and Martha, that mixture, that when we walk by faith and we seem to want to walk by faith and we want to learn to walk in a way that glorifies God, that our trust may increase, we have an unseeable, undefinable opposition in our life. If you want to walk it right, you know what I'm talking about. There are times it's like there is a stone, there is something immovable ahead of us and in front of us. We can't see it. And we can't describe it. And we can't define it, but it's there. If you want to walk godly in this generation, if you want to serve the Lord, not just follow him, but you want to serve him, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. And Jesus felt this stone before he commanded it to go away. When everything around him was to press on his flesh, act in the flesh, act like they are, respond like you are, he wasn't going to do it. But from heaven, he said, take away the stone. And then he says, he prays, and he says, Father, I thank you. After he says, take away the stone, after he refused to respond to their unbelief, to their despair, but to their pride, to the death in the house, to everybody not understanding what God was doing at this moment, he says, Father, I thank you, as he stands before a grave, and he says, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 42, I know that you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And that reproof, that arrow of, can you trust me? Trust me, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you will know what I'm doing. You will know what I'm doing. Can you trust me now? And all of a sudden, I want to talk to you about hindrance number three, because we're at it. When the impossible versus the supernatural. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus are in an impossible situation. But Jesus, what did he do? He cried in a loud voice. He cried in a loud voice, not out of his flesh, out of his spirit. He cried and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man inside a grave heard the voice of God and lived and hobbled out. And he was saying, this is what I am doing to you. I'm going to speak to that despair that wants to swallow you. And I'm going to say, hear my voice. The death in you that always goes to the despair, hear my voice. Can you, if you can hear my voice, even now, before you even see what I'm going to say, can I speak to you about a despair? And can you, prefiguring what's going to happen in this household, Lazarus is going to come forth. Can you hear my voice? Can I raise up a group of people that when they hear my voice, they will allow the despair to break up, the dead despair to break up? And he's saying, can that dead religious pride, can it hear my voice? Just as Lazarus is hearing my voice, can it reach you? Can you believe when you shouldn't be believing? Can you trust me now before you see Lazarus rise? He's saying, can you believe me if you're battling the religious pride and the fear, or you're battling the despair? He says, can you believe me now before you see? Because Lazarus will rise. The dead will rise. What is dead will rise. Because I love you, I'll take you to that place. I will put an anointing upon you where you can pray, take away the stone. I will put an anointing upon you where you can pray, Lord, I need an anointing to take away the stone of unbelief. I need the anointing to move that stone of despair, of pride, where I just find it so hard to be vulnerable. Take away the stone. Speak it to me like you said it to them before Lazarus ever rose from the dead. Beloved, it was just an ordinary day, and Jesus raised the dead, and he didn't despise their weakness. He labored with them. And for those that say today, I need a victory today, Lord, I need to move from the impossible. I'm from the impossible to the supernatural. I need today for you to do that in me. I need, Lord, before I ever see Lazarus raised from the dead, can you bring me to a place, because you love me, that I will not react in my flesh like you didn't. The same anointing that was on you, not to react in flesh, not to react in the same spirit, but you put the same anointing on me that can break up the places that hold me from trusting you. Can I have that same anointing that says, take away the stone, that which seems to oppose me and eat away at my trust? Can I, before Lazarus raises, can I say, Lord, take away the stone? And can I say, I thank you, Father, you hear me. Thank you, you always hear me. Thank you, Jesus is with me. Can I to believe you today? Can I believe you now? Can I move from the impossible as I see it in my situation to the supernatural? Will you remind me today, Jesus, that impossible is just an opinion? Hallelujah. Beloved, it is possible to grow in painful, confusing situations because Jesus is with us. And I pray you just take away what blocks us seeing him. He is so moved by our infirmities, and he's so moved by our places where we're pressed in the flesh, where we find it so hard. We feel like we've got a testimony to maintain. We've got fear issues. We've got control issues. We've got pride issues. We've despaired because he's not showed up in our way, in our time. But we go to the word where we understand where Jesus, he says, no, I don't come on your time. I come at the perfect time. Can we believe that today? Can we offer our time and exchange it for his time? Because the scripture says he makes all things beautiful in his time. Can we believe that? Because if we can believe that now, we are going to see our Lazaruses. We're going to see those impossible places. He's going to be faithful to us. And how long suffering is he with his unbelieving believers? How long suffering is he? We will not, beloved, succumb to these places that want to threaten our fear, where the enemy says, I'm taking you down, where God doesn't make sense just for a moment, but only just for a moment. Only just for a moment. Let's just believe God and say, Lord, I want that same anointing. I want you to break up the place of that, where that same anointing where I can say, Lord, take away the stone. Take away the stone, because Lazarus is behind that stone. The dead's going to live when that stone is removed. And I thank you, Lord, that you were so long suffering with Martha and Mary. And you said all this was happening in your perfect time, in your 4 days after the event time, to the intent that they would believe. Then, of course, there was a notable miracle. Then, of course, we get to John chapter 12, and I think I'm out of time. Yes, I am. But sorry for preaching it a little, but it's okay. All right, I preached it. Thank you. He knows what he is doing with us and our faith walk. He's not playing with us. He's not wasting our offered lives. He is not wasting the life we've offered to him. He is not playing with us. He's moving us down the road of trust and faith as only he can. He's so amazing. Everything they knew about Jesus was absolutely true when Lazarus came out of the grave. And I think that Jesus was saying, beloved, he's looking for a place that you and I can be moved down the trust road where even before Lazarus comes out, we're going to say, Lord, move away the stone. You are good and you can't be anything but good. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to get into this word and I'm going to hear your voice. And if I can hear your voice, then I will live. That's what happened with Lazarus. And there's a scripture, you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you in John 5:25. It confirms this. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I want to say that promise is going to be true. And when we find ourselves in a Martha situation, if we can say, Lord, whatever is causing me not to hear, I'm going to drop to my knee in my heart and in physically, I'm going to say, Lord, speak. I'm going to stop talking. And you're going to tease out all the fear, all the control issues, all of the pride, all the everything where I'm getting separated from you. And I'm going to hear your voice, because they that hear your voice will live. And the scripture says, even today and now is, there's an anointing, there's a word going forth now that God wants to break up everything that's blocking our trust now. Because it's not really trust till we embrace that word now. It's not really trust till it's now. And whatever wherever you, this word is finding you in a place that's hard to believe it, Jesus is saying, can you believe me now? Can you just not wait? Don't put it to a far off day. Can you just say, that will be me? That just described where I am with you, Jesus. But I thank you there's an anointing for now to rise and not have to see it all fully completed before I can declare from my heart, I trust you, Jesus. You are good. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone from me that I may believe. And everything that we think is a hindrance is no hindrance at all. That's where he's taking us. From unbelieving believers to more believing believers. He's that good. Will you stand with me? It really, beloved, does, according to John 11, break down to either we're battling with despair and can't trust him because we've not seen the answer yet, to a pride and a fear and a not listening. And the Lord is here to help us. He's here to help us. I think there's a Lazarus waiting in all our families, in all our faith walk. So I'm just going to, as the musicians come, I'm just going to ask that you can honestly, with vulnerability, with just without any pretense, just say, Lord, you know the conversations I've been having in my heart or that I haven't been having in my heart that need to happen. And today I'm stepping out and there's going to be anointing waiting for me where I can pray, roll away the stone. And I'll act like you. I'll not give in to my flesh or my circumstance. And you will be faithful to me. I'm going to ask you just to come and step out. That's you. And the first step you know in getting free is just that vulnerability. And just that saying, Lord, thank you for understanding my despairing place. And you don't judge me. In fact, you've just labored with these believers till you gently and lovingly brought them to a place of believing. And you might say, that's where I need to be. I need to be gently led right now. The despair sometimes wants to swallow me. But I hear you today, Jesus. And I know, Lord, you're going to be faithful and you're going to do something glorious for your name. And you've caught me just in time. It was the last glimmer of hope. But I thank you. You understand me. And the amazing thing is with this walk with God is that we are completely understood. You are completely understood today. So let's respond to this, what he's offering us today. He's going to move us down that road of trust. Amen. You know, when I stopped talking and asked God to heal that part of my heart, he actually did it right in that now. All those years of talking, I don't know. He did it now. Now is a very big word. And I just pray that there be anointing, if you are in a place of despair, that word now will find you, that Jesus is going to take away the stone, and that you're just going to say, Lord, whatever is that offense, whatever is that weight in me, whatever is that weight against me, put the anointing on me to pray with you, roll away the stone. He will be faithful. For those that are saying, now, Lord, you've got to break through because it's becoming a game to me. It's becoming a little bit of a religious thing with me. And what I used to have that was so real and vital, now, today, Jesus, break through. Roll away the stone. Put an anointing on me. Roll away the stone. I pray with you. Roll away the stone. These hindrances to trust, roll away the stone. Hallelujah. And thank you. I will not react in the flesh. You did not react in the flesh when you were dealing with the people you loved. And I will not react in the flesh because I am dealing with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Every hindrance to trusting you, whether it be pain, whether it be pride, whether it be fear, whether it be not understanding, I thank you. You understand it, and that everything in my life is happening to the intent that I may believe you better, that I may believe you better. That's how much you love me, Lord. And I thank you, you do all things through loving us. You are the big plan, and you are the small plan. The big plan, Lord, is that we become more like you, and we may glorify you in the earth. And the little plan is that we may love you more. And I thank you, Lord, you are faithful in all of it. So now, today, Lord, I pray, you would change us, oh God. And you would let us have a faith that can believe you every day for a now miracle. And every day we can say now, oh God, that I can hear your voice and step into it. That, Lord, I may hear your voice and live. That, Lord, no circumstance will be able to dominate me. No unfavorable circumstance will be able to shape the way I think about you or feel about you. I decide today now to trust you, oh God. And I thank you. You will be faithful, oh God, to just show up. I thank you, Lord, that something dead will live. And you are so good. We love you today. Thank you for being so long-suffering with us. Thank you. There doesn't have to be pretense with you. Thank you. We can have the real faith that actually moves people. And I thank you. In John 12, Martha started serving again, but this time out of a gratitude. Mary smashed that despair and poured out a fragrance of giving her all. And Lazarus had a testimony that people actually wanted to go see him and Jesus. Such a vibrant testimony. Thank you for loving this household of faith right into stronger faith. Help us to believe it now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.